So we're in a sermon series. We are in a teaching series in the book of John. And John is a writing by a man named John. And what's kind of confusing is there is a John that he writes about within his book who is not John, but is John the Baptist. That's not confusing to anybody else. Okay, good. So we got these two Johns, and John is writing about the life of Jesus. And up until this point, we've been kind of getting Jesus is hitting the scene, and John the Baptist is a man who has prepped the way, who has been talking about who Jesus is and pointing to Jesus. So Jesus hits the scene, and we saw this miracle in this place called Cana that he performed, and it was turning water into wine for this wedding. Directly after that, he is at the temple for the Passover. It's a Jewish holiday, tradition. I don't know if it's a holiday necessarily, a Jewish remembrance of the Israelite nation coming out of captivity when they were enslaved by Egypt. And so Jesus goes to the Passover and starts whipping cattle and people and has a real issue with how this worship is going down at the temple. You guys remember those stories? Okay. If you don't remember them, and this is the first time here, that's why I'm doing all this catch me up. All right. So now we go from this temple, this craziness at the temple, and Jesus is visited by a guy in the middle of the night who is a Jewish. He's pretty high up in the Jewish order, and his name is Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, I don't know why in Scripture, in John 3, we're in John 3, verses 1 through 21. I don't know why Nicodemus would come in the cover of night. Maybe he didn't want to be associated with Jesus. I don't know. But Nicodemus has this question, and he's having a hard time understanding this teaching that Jesus is giving, because he comes and he's a product of these miracles that he saw happen at the Passover that Jesus was doing. And Nicodemus sees that Jesus is someone from God. Nicodemus sees that Jesus is actually probably who he says he is, but Nicodemus has questions that need answered. And what's interesting is the question that Nicodemus asks is the same question or statements that we see a lot in atheism. There are bumper stickers that say, "Born right the first time." Dennis Miller, you guys know who Dennis Miller is? Not to be confused with Donald Miller. I was telling my buddy Troy, I can't see, there you are. I was telling my buddy Troy, Troy and Lindsay are back, by the way, from Portland. They're moving back here to be a part of what we do. It's awesome. I'm lying. They're like, no, we're not moving back here. But I was telling my buddy Troy, I said, well, I'm doing a Dennis Miller quote. And he said, don't you mean Donald Miller, the Christian author? I said, no, Dennis Miller. So Dennis Miller is a comedian slash actor slash political kind of guru at a talk show. He's done all these things. And this is what Donald Miller said. He said, born again? No, I'm not. Excuse me for getting it right the first time. And so this question that Nicodemus asked is very much the same thing that you see people within atheism holding on to. You see big name actors, big name political people talking about this thing, and it's a point of contention. And so this isn't anything new, and it's never, I guess, really even been solved either. So this 20 minutes with me is going to cover it for everyone. You'll walk out just full of knowledge. You're welcome. It's my gift to you. Merry Christmas. I'm not a funny man. No one's laughing at these things, and that's okay. That's okay. But let's read this account in John 3, 1 through 21. If you don't have a Bible, we have, I think I saw a box actually sitting out there of Bibles out there for free for you guys to just take and have. They're yours. You don't have to put them back. It's not on loan. Just take them, use them, read them, please. And if you don't want to use a paper copy because you're too cool, you can do a digital copy. There we go. Yeah. You can get it through YouVersion, which is awesome because you can get many different translations of the Bible. You can get it through, Matt, help me out. What's the other Bible? Bible Gateway. I don't know why I can never remember that one. I use that all the time online, but I don't use it on an app form. So Bible Gateway is another great opportunity for you to have it just in your pocket all times on your phone. And if you have a flip phone like Larry Andrews, I don't know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I love you, Larry, and your flip phone. So let's read together. It's going to be up on the screen as well. John 3, 1 through 21, it says this. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, which is interesting that he recognizes Jesus as rabbi, but he knows that Jesus is of authority. And that rabbi title is huge at this time. So he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can somebody be born when they are old? Can they enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born? That's just gross. My poor mother. Poor me. Can they enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born? And how can someone be born again when they are old? Can they enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus then says to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then we get to a semi-famous passage, John 3:16, not to be confused with Steve Austin's 3:16, the wrestler, as Troy pointed out last night for me, or even Tim Tebow's 3:16. Although I think that is actually a reference to what we're reading here. So it says this, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Read this again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order for that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. This is what the whole judgment is. The light has come to the world. Jesus has come to the world. And people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their works have been carried out in God. So what you see is Jesus talking to Nicodemus, this leader, this ruler of the Jews, in the cover of night. And Nicodemus has real questions. Nicodemus has questions that he would like answers to. Nicodemus can't wrap his mind around what's going on. And Jesus, when he speaks, he is trying with everything that is within him to help Nicodemus understand what's going on in this passage. What's going on in terms of this birth through the Spirit? And so Jesus, being this savvy man that he is, he starts recounting history to Nicodemus. So when you see this, unless you're sprinkled clean, the sprinkling, this water that he talks about, and this new birth, all of that is a flashback to a writing that Nicodemus would know about. All of that is a flashback to what we know as the writings of Ezekiel in the Old Testament. And God says this. Now, can I read it? I like reading Bible. It's fun. God says this in Ezekiel 36, 22 through 27. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is God, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness through before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So Jesus does something really cool. He quotes something that Nicodemus should know. He quotes from a story that Nicodemus should have heard, being a ruler of the Jewish people. Nicodemus isn't stupid. Nicodemus is not uneducated. Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. So he knows this prophecies. He knows these writings of old. He knows about Ezekiel. He knows these things. And what's beautiful in this story is if you go another chapter over, if you go into Ezekiel 37, you already hear from God why he's doing what he's doing. I'm not doing this for you. I'm not doing this for your nation. I'm doing this for me. That my name would be glorified because you guys have forgot how to do that for me. You guys don't do that for me anymore. You guys don't glorify me. In fact, you do the opposite. You've joined in with people who choose not to do those things, and yet you still claim me as your God. So here's what I'm going to do. I, your God, am going to clean this up. I'm going to clean up this mess that you've made. I'm going to sprinkle you clean. I'm going to put this new spirit within you that people will know that I am God. So he quotes this to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus goes, huh? What? So Jesus get serious again. It's funny, because anytime Jesus says, truly, truly, I think he wants people to pay attention. No, this is for reals this time. That's a modern-day version of how serious we are. For reals. For reals this happened. Who says for reals? Anybody? Is it just me? Yes, we got some hands. For reals, though. For reals. So Jesus says, for reals. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. But Nicodemus says, again, how can this be? I don't get this. I don't understand this. And so Jesus goes back again, and do you remember what he said about Moses? He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. And again, Jesus goes back to what Nicodemus knows, goes back to the things that Nicodemus already has studied, has known, has been instilled with birth. Moses was a major player in the Jewish faith. So Moses is a big deal. People just don't, who's Moses? For Jews, that's not a thing. They know who Moses is. So Jesus goes back and talks about Moses, and he goes back even further. He goes and says, just as the serpent was lifted up, what does this mean? What does any of this mean? It just sounds really goofy. Well, when Moses freed the Israelite nation out of captivity, when Moses gets these people out, they're wandering in the wilderness. And these people keep getting bitten by snakes. I don't know. I'm thinking, you're in a desert. Where are snakes able to hide? You'd think they'd just be right there. Look, there's a snake. There's no trees. There's no grass that they're hiding in. There's no... right? Snake! Makes sense to me. So these people keep getting bit by snakes. And they come and they implore Moses. They say, Moses, please, please do something about this. Because these snakes are poisonous. These snakes are killing people. These snakes are harming people. So Moses is this intermediary between the Israelite nation and God. And he says, God, we got to do something about this. We got to make something happen about this, because this is just unacceptable. We can't just have these people all dying off for snake bites. So God says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to build a serpent out of bronze that's going to be up on this post. It's just... and any time that someone gets bit, all they have to do is go and look. And they'll be healed. They'll be healed. They'll be whole. They'll be restored. Their life will be given to them again. And so Jesus goes back and he's talking to Nicodemus about this and trying to use yet another word picture, yet another thing that happened in the past that he should be very well aware of. And he said, just as the serpent was lifted up, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So I have to be lifted up. And this is just a foreshadowing of what's to come with the cross and Jesus' crucifixion, as they lift him up. Only this doesn't just fix snake bites. This doesn't just fix the immediate, I'm poisoned, I need help, I got to look at this thing, and I'm good. This crucifixion is the ultimate healing, is the ultimate life, is the ultimate. And so Jesus is trying everything within his power to help Nicodemus understand. Help Nicodemus see rightly. And it's interesting because the story just kind of ends there. You don't see Nicodemus' reaction or response saying, I got it. Oh, yeah, totally. Serpents, yep. Moses, uh-huh. You don't see this response. You just see it kind of move on. And what's interesting is when I studied this passage out, I didn't realize that there's question as to John 3:16 through the end of the verses in 21. There's question as to whether Jesus actually said these words or not, or whether it's just John stepping back into the story and saying these words. And so what flagged me, sadly enough, was the red letters. I was on computer, and you can pull up all these different versions on your screen and read them, and I noticed one didn't have red letters. And if you read in the Bible, some of the Bibles have what they call red letter edition, and any letters that you see in red, those words are attributed to Jesus. So you know, Jesus is speaking. So I'm reading this, and I'm like, hey, those letters are black. You know, because they obviously wrote in red ink on papyrus back in the day for all these notes that they've given us. Oh, Jesus is speaking, red ink. So I'm reading and I'm like, huh, interesting. And I start reading into commentaries and it's really not that big of a deal. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change the validity or the weight or the veracity of the statements. It's still big news. Whether Jesus said it or whether John said it. So let's read it. It just jumps from this Nicodemus character. And I don't know if Jesus is saying these things to him or if this is something John added in. But I'd like to attribute it to Jesus today. Can we do that? Thank you. Thank you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world through Jesus. And the people, us, love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their works have been carried out in God. Nicodemus failed to grasp what Jesus was saying, at least that we know of. We don't see an understanding from Nicodemus. We don't have the rest of that story. But as hard as Jesus was trying, I honestly believe he just failed to see what was going on and failed to see Jesus for who Jesus is. Failed to hear Jesus for who Jesus is. And it's not that he was stupid. It's not that he didn't know the stories of old from their faith. It's not that he didn't understand what the Passover was or what the Israelite nation suffered. It's not any of that. He just didn't hear. He just didn't hear rightly. And so one of the biggest fears when I get up on the stage, I'm not going to cry. There it is. You hear my voice? Kind of whimpering. I'm catching it now before it starts. I think it was Rich Henderson and Larry Andrews once told me, you just need to let it out, man. I said, I'd be up here bawling like a baby in front of everybody. That's going to do no one any good. Don't clap for that. But my biggest fear is when I get up on the stage is that very thing that Nicodemus is doing, that very thing that Nicodemus cannot hear, cannot understand, cannot see, is that I get up and I speak and I know this truth. I study it. I live it. Poorly at times. My desire is that you guys and gals are right there with me. Because this truth is so important. This truth is something that's not something you can just be indifferent towards. This truth isn't something that you can just come and through osmosis by being here every Sunday, just live it out through that. Through indifference, through just coming and hearing neat words from a crazy man. This truth isn't something that you can be indifferent towards. This truth is something that you have to make a choice about. We don't have many come to Jesus moments here intentionally. I don't think we've ever done an altar call. Anybody know what that is? We've never done an altar call here, and I don't think we're going to do one. I'm not going to make everybody bow their heads and raise their hand if they need prayer or if they want to accept Jesus. Who am I to say, yes, you can accept Jesus or not? That's between you and him. But this topic, this thing, this salvation, this what Jesus did, what Jesus is talking about, this being born again, you cannot remain indifferent to. I sat with our friend Joe and with Craig for lunch. Actually, I kind of I just invited myself to this meeting. It was a lot of fun. I've done that twice to Joe now. I think he hates me. we had lunch. And I'm listening to this beautiful story of these guys who have similar faith stories and similar faith backgrounds. And there came a point in both of their lives that they knew they could not remain indifferent to this anymore. Because they've known Jesus to be who he says he is. And that's what's interesting is Nicodemus comes at the beginning of the story saying, "We know you're from God. I know of you. I kind of know you." And then he goes on to ask these questions that he just can't get over. And so these faith stories start coming out amongst these beautiful hamburgers and wings that we were eating. Oh, if Jesus would have come back at that moment, that would have been great. But we're talking about these faith stories, and you reach a point in your life where you have to make a choice. You have to decide. And to not decide is to decide. And what's interesting is it goes on as Jesus says, or as John says, or whoever says, that this light comes to the world, and people don't want it. Because there's people that do these evil deeds, these people that do so much wickedness that they're scared of the light because there's things that they don't want people to know because it talks about this light exposing us for who we really are. And so I think there's people that have done these deeds and these evil things, these things that are against who God is, and they understand that. And they say, "Man, I can't be seen for who I am. That'll tank me. That'll tank my rep. It'll tank my job. It'll tank my friends who thought highly of me." And I don't want Jesus to see me like that either. And then I think you have another side of this coin too with people who think they're doing good morally. Think they're doing virtuous things in the community. And I think there's a fear behind some of those things because they know that those might be exposed as well is not the it. And so this is a thing you cannot remain indifferent to. This life of Christianity, of being a Jesus follower, you cannot remain indifferent to it. And the way he sums all this up is you're going to be known by how you proceed from there. You're going to be known by how you proceed from when you are reborn, by what you do, who you are, what you become. And as I listened to Joe and Craig at the table and listened to their coming to faith, and it was later than when I did it, I was 11 years old. And what's interesting is I knew that I needed a Savior. I knew Jesus was real, and I knew my need for him was real, but I didn't know that with Jesus comes change. Which is interesting because I'm a pastor's kid. My parents failed. No, I'm just kidding. No, they did the best with what they had to work with, that's for sure. But I didn't realize it came with change. I didn't realize that, oh, this life means I can't be that judgmental, awesome Christian high school kid that yells at people for getting drunk. It uses God as a weapon instead of someone who didn't come in to condemn the world, but to save it. It meant that, you know, I probably should have stopped looking at porn. I didn't know that. That's actually a lie. It probably meant that my financial dealings with my paycheck and how my family, didn't really live out a life of generosity. With this decision, with this choosing of faith, with this choosing Jesus, with this choosing this to walk in the light, comes change. And I don't want to make it something that it's not. I don't want to make it this big, beautiful, shiny thing that everybody wants. Because I think that would be disguising it. It is a big, beautiful thing, but it requires you and I to change. It requires you and I to be the person that Jesus is asking us to be in these passages. It requires you and I to be the person that we see these disciples, that we see these prophets of old, that we see these major players in the faith. We follow this. In our own version, in our own way, in our own story, we obviously aren't all going to go build our own personal ark, because Noah did. We're all not going to go try to get the Israelites out of captivity, as Moses did. But our lives are going to look drastically different, and it's going to look like these things, only in just different facets. And so this morning, I give you this choice, and not that I'm a gatekeeper in between God and you at all. I just get to be a mouthpiece. I just get to point to him and say, will you choose? Will you make that choice? Because unlike Dennis Miller, you have not been born right the first time. You didn't get it right the first time. You're just like me. You got it wrong. You've got it selfish. And so you do have to choose. And that's why Whitewater is here. To present these choices, to present this thing called faith, to point to Jesus in hopes that you move along with us. That you move persistently 2 steps closer to Jesus. Because that's what all of this is about. Every single piece of this is about Jesus. And so some of you come today, you've made this choice, but like me, you may be living in this choice of not knowing you that change is required of you. Not knowing that these things, you know, change needs to happen in your life. And so you've lived this hard road up until now, and now Adam's saying something completely new, like, whoa, God doesn't want us there? God wants us to actually follow what he says? Some of you are like me. Some of you are not like me in the fact that you are much like Nicodemus, and my words this morning are still hard for you to swallow. You're going to leave here and you're going to say, how can this be? Anything but a story, anything but a myth. And that's okay. Because I trust God. I trust the Spirit. I trust what he wants to do within you. Because God, unlike saving the Israelites and just his nation, his people, what Jesus did was very similar to what God did for the Israelites, only it wasn't just for one person. It wasn't just for one nation. It was for all of us. He's not leaving anybody out. There's no race. There's no nationality. There's no culture. There's no person that he did not come to die for, that he did not come to restore, to bring life, to bring a new spirit, to make you clean. And so much like Jesus, our mission from here on out, our mission to accept this truth, it brings change. And what does that change look like? It looks like some behavioral stuff, yes. It looks like some moral issues in your life, yes. It looks like some radical heart surgery, yes. But more than any of that, it's so that we will not condemn the world, but that we will save it through what we do and our actions by pointing at Jesus. That's it. So this life change, this habit change, this is about Jesus. It's about saving the world. We're not here to condemn it, we're here to save it. And that's what you're being invited into. That's what you're being into, making this choice. You can't not be indifferent. You're either going to save the world or you're going to destroy it. By how you live, by what you choose, whether Jesus or whether darkness. And I'm praying with everything that I've got that throughout this series, as we call it, Believe, Live, Love, or pages hanging from wires, is that you guys bear with us. Because I know some of you are skeptics right now. I know some of you aren't buying any of this, and that's okay. Come back and hang out with us still. Come back and hang out with us still. Come back and hear the rest of the story. Come back and hear what Jesus continues to do throughout his ministry. Don't tap out. Give us a chance here. Give Jesus a chance here. But you have to make a choice. And that's what I'm praying for every single one of you. God, we love you, and we thank you for the choices that you do give us, and we thank you for your Spirit, God, that pursues every one of us, every single one of us, every day. God, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, whether we want to see you in that or not, that is the truth. And you allow us to live lives that do not reflect you. God, for long periods of time, for me it was years, 10 plus years that I was just allowed to just be in this non-life change. But God, with this choice, with this walking in the light, with this life exposed, God, you expose these things because they show us who we really are. They show us how far we are from your heart or how close we are to your heart. God, and though there may be pain in the moment, though there may be consequences in the moment, God, you're doing this to grow us up. You're doing this to move us closer to you. You're doing this so that we would save the world. That your Spirit through us would save the world. And so, God, the weight of this topic, the weight of this teaching, the weight of all of this is this choice to be made. God, whether it's made this morning or not, whether it's made 4 years from now or not, whether people are ready to hear it today or ready to hear it 10 years from now, God, I pray for every single one of us. God, that we would listen for you, that we would hear you rightly, that we wouldn't be Nicodemuses that are just hung up on this gross talk of entering our mother's womb again, but we would hear you rightly the first time. God, and I trust your Spirit that moves in this room this morning. I trust your Spirit to decode, to define, to bring about the right answer in these hearts, in these souls this morning. God, for those of us that have chosen, you have chosen light, have chosen new life, God, I celebrate. For those of us that have experienced that this morning, for those of us that have experienced it on our own, wherever we may be, God, I celebrate that. But I know, much like my own story, is if we don't do anything with it, what good is it? What worth is it? So God, I pray for an activity of you here in this place. I pray for an activity of you here in this place, out in this community. God, that we don't live this passive life, that we don't live this life of not being changed, being changed and being changed here in this community, but God, that you would just activate us to save the world through your Spirit that lives in us. God, for those of us that can't hear this message this morning, for those of us that can't buy this message this morning, I know you're not done in those hearts, in those minds, in those spirits, and I trust you with these people. Because what you wanted for me is the exact same thing you want for them. God, I pray that your Spirit opens those ears and softens those hearts. God, thank you again for these messages that come from these people who were eyewitnesses to what Jesus did and wrote them down and lived these lives out that are dangerous, lived these lives out that are a change from what they were doing. God, that we might know you and know your word and know your desire for us. God, we love you and we thank you for all that you are and all that you do and all that you want to do within us. In your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.